But as we look to God's word, we are once again back in the book of Jude. And if you have your Bibles with you, or if you'd like to follow along on the screen behind me, we're going to look at Jude. Before I read it, just as a recap, we're going through this sermon series in the book of Jude in the New Testament, the book before Revelation. Jude has been warning the church about false teachers, false believers, their influence, their goal to just destroy the church ultimately, but to cause division, to cause people to walk away from the truth. And last week, we saw how Jude was pronouncing judgment on them, how serious their sin was, and how God was going to deal with them as a result of their sin. So he's pronouncing judgment on these false teachers. And our passage today is now Jude telling the church how to respond to them, okay? So that's where we pick up in verse 17, because he's changing direction now. He's going from really harsh judgment words against those that are seeking to destroy the church and distort the word of God, and now he tells the church, believers, this is how you are to respond. And he says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You notice those last few words, do not have the Spirit. I think it's just very encouraging this morning how God is orchestrating this service, and that we've sung these two wonderful choruses about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think it goes really great with our word today, and that's the Lord just bringing this service together. But if you could have your Bibles open, and as we go through this together in this passage, let me pray before we start. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for being here with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for just the opportunity to worship together in such freedom in this great country, where we don't have to fear being caught doing this. Thank you, Lord, that you are holy. You are so holy, Lord, and we thank you, God, for just always leading us and guiding us in your word, showing us how we can also be holy as you are holy. As we look to your word, we again pray by the power of your Spirit, would you open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may understand your word, that we will not only know it, believe it, but also live it out each and every day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I read recently that a child was walking on a beach, picking up shells. That's fun to do, isn't it? Right? Who's done that? That's a great adventure. And this girl was doing this in Australia. Now, she picked up a shell, but did not realize that inside the shell was what they call a blue-ringed octopus. And this is one of the most deadly octopuses in the world. Just a bite from it could kill you. A bite from this little creature would first paralyze your breathing muscles within minutes. And without treatment, you could die. Obviously, after adults discovered this thing, they, of course, just got it out of her hands, and she wasn't bit. It was pretty close. It was, I'm sure, a little bit terrifying for their parents. But after this, they took precautions to avoid this situation ever coming out again. But more importantly, the public is often warned about these creatures and taught how to identify them, how to avoid them. Here, again, was a shell, like many other shells that seemed harmless and picked up, pleasant to look at, and a child unknowingly picked up the shell, unaware that this blue-ringed octopus was hiding, living in there. Now, just as people on the beach need to be aware of the dangers, the many hidden dangers that look pleasant, so also Jude warns believers in the church about the hidden dangers of false teaching, false believers, those that would seek to divide and cause believers to stray and abandon the word of God and what is truth, and how important it is that we are building our lives on the foundation of God's word. Believers need to be vigilant. We need to know the truth in order to spot the lies when they come. And they're coming, aren't they? The subtle messages that undermine the word of the God. And they come not just through social media and Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, all those things that I can't keep up with, but just through media, through movies, through books. We have to be vigilant with what we're listening to, what we're watching, because that's how the enemy works, to come in and to get you to actually think as Satan said to Eve, did God really say that? We'll look at that later. In the prior passage, Jude laid out both the sins and the danger that these false believers posed. Their presence was just not a good thing for the church that Jude wrote to. Not only do such unbelievers put themselves under eternal judgment, as we learned in verse 13, but they also pose a spiritual risk, a risk to Christians that they associate with. Now, Jude moves on to our passage today in these verses, and he's highlighting just not just their threat, but also the response the church is to have in order to avoid stumbling and falling and losing our way. And he mentions two things that really stand out in these two verses, and we're just looking at verses 17 to 19 today. The first thing he says was, remember God's word. Remember God's word. A very simple instruction. But also, he ends with this whole importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. And that might sound something really weird to you, but it's essential to the walk of a believer in Jesus Christ, that you are walking in the Spirit if you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, verse 17, join me there. Join me there. Verse 17, the first instruction that Jude gives is what? But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. In verse 17, we get that first instruction. In response to these false believers, he says, remember. And the idea of remember implies that this was well known to the readers already. They'd heard it before. They'd heard what the apostles had taught, what had been passed on to them. And Jude reminds his readers that the apostles had predicted the emergence of such false teachers and believers within the church. And unlike the false teachers who served only themselves, the apostles of Jesus Christ, they were committed to the Lord. He was their master. He was their savior. He was their Messiah. And what they taught was the authority of God's word. Jude was saying to them, this threat to the church was predicted, so don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that I'm writing to you about this danger. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. I think this picture behind me just represents just pretty clearly the presence of what? Wolves. In sheep's clothing. And it's an expression perhaps that you've heard before, but a wolf in sheep's clothing means a person who appears harmless, who appears kind, but this attitude only hides their malicious intent. This type of person can be easily trusted if you're naive, able to gain the favor of those who are unsuspecting. It is hard sometimes to fathom that there are actually people who would purposely do this, and that is infiltrate the church, creep in with a false gospel, with a word that is not the word of God in truth at all, and their goal is to, again, get you to follow their lies. Jesus meant one who professes to speak God's word, but actually does not. Okay, that's what he meant by wolves in sheep's clothing. And so Jude in many ways is saying, like, this isn't new. This was foretold. You shouldn't be surprised that the truth is under attack. The scriptures tell us to expect this. Jude is calling the church to remind ourselves regularly of this threat that exists and to be on guard, to be vigilant, to know the truth so that we'll be able to spot the lies. This brings me to Satan. This brings me to Genesis 3, because when Satan came to Eve in Genesis 3 to tempt her, what was his temptation all about? It was all about attacking the word of God. It was all about undermining the truth. In Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5, we learn about the fall of man and how the serpent came to Eve and how he had this conversation with Eve and was talking to her about, well, did God really say that? And the Bible later identifies the serpent as Satan, of course. And if you're not sure who he is, because perhaps you're new to church, and you're new to the Christian faith. Well, he's basically public enemy number one, isn't he? He's the chief opponent of God and his people, and he's the leader of an uncounted number of demonic forces in the spirit realm. And Jesus says he's been a murderer from the beginning, and he's engaged in an all-out war against everyone. Paul tells the Ephesian church to put on the full armor of God so that they can stand firm against his attacks. James tells Christians that if they resist the devil, he will flee from you. And Peter tells believers to beware. Our enemy, the devil, prowls like a lion waiting to pounce. So we have an enemy. If we're going to stand up against him in the spirit world, in our spiritual lives, we need to know whom we're up against. He's the adversary. As Christians, we need to be aware of Satan's strategies as well, so that we are not outwitted by him. For his nature is that of a liar, of a deceiver. And he distorts God's word, as we see in Genesis 3. You see, Satan got to Eve, how? By distorting the authority of God's word. As Adam and Eve found out, there are only tragic consequences when we reject God's word as the sole authority for our lives. Now, when Satan came to Eve in the garden, he took God's commands and he reshaped it, saying, again, did God actually say? Getting her to think in her mind, well, maybe God didn't say that. Or maybe it's actually okay. Or maybe God doesn't want the best for me. That's why he's not allowing me to eat from this one tree, when really they already had all that they needed. So Satan's words were designed to get Eve to question God's command, to make her think that God did not know what was best. Satan's first step in deceiving Eve was having her question the truthfulness of God's word. And as, again, Adam and Eve found out, there are tragic consequences for them and for us as well when we reject God's word as the sole authority for our lives. And maybe that's what's missing for many believers and in the church, is that they've gone away from the authority of God's word in their lives. They've replaced it with another word or something else that our culture is shaping for them to believe instead. And so because they ate of the tree God told them not to eat from, sin entered the world. Now, Satan's work of distorting the word of God continues today and will continue, hence the warning in Jude's letter. The problem is that we can easily drop our guard and lose sight of the truths of Scripture. That's why Jude says, remember. Just think for a second. There's a reason why there are traffic signs on our streets. There's a reason why there are warning signs near rivers and lakes and oceans when the ice is not thick enough. There's a reason why teachers and leaders review the rules in the classroom and at camp. Why? We're a forgetful people. We need to be reminded every day, especially of the truth, especially of God's word. That's why I love that we're doing this memorizing Bible verses. So that's a challenge that we encourage you to take personally. Memorize Scripture every week. If we are not paying attention to what God's word says, then we can easily end up compromising our beliefs and actions without realizing it. We should always be mindful of the warnings we have in Scripture of those who would oppose the faith and who seek to distort the truth, causing us to not elevate but lower the authority of God's word in our lives, and how it's supposed to shape our values, our attitudes, how we live, how we parent, how we lead. So Jude calls us to remember the word of God, to elevate it to be authoritative over all of our lives. Now in verse 18, after he tells them to remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold, he goes on to say, they said to you, this is the warning, this is what the apostles said, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. And so verse 18 gives us another bit of a description of the enemy here, of the false believers within the church who are attacking the truth. And in verse 18, Jude reminds his readers what the apostles predicted. The false teachers are described as emerging in the last time. The last times. This refers to the period of church history, we're in it right now, which began with the formation of the church in Jerusalem 50 days after Christ's resurrection. And this time, the last times, will continue until the rapture, until the return of Christ and the completion of God's ultimate plan for our redemption. Do you notice what Jude calls these false teachers? Scoffers. Scoffers. That's not a word we use too often. When was the last time you called somebody a scoffer or you were scoffed at? The word translated scoffer in English means one who mocks, ridicules, or scorns the belief of another. Well, those kind of words we hear a lot. We know that happens a lot. God's word is mocked. The gospel of Jesus Christ is scorned. People make fun or mock God's word or your faith because you were a believer in Jesus Christ. They ridicule the truth and morality. And why? Why are there scoffers, mockers? Well, in order to cater, in order to support their own sinful passions and defend their wickedness, they just go against and reject the word of God. Now, in the Bible, scoffers are those who choose to disbelieve God and his word. They say in their hearts, there is no God. And for those people, all you can do is pray for them. And you can pray that God opens their hearts. And as you are a witness of Jesus Christ before them, may they see your good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven. There is no God, they believe, and they make it their ambition. It is their life's pursuit to ridicule those who follow God. Now, the destructive work of scoffers, false believers, these false teachers is easily seen in our world today and within the church. For instance, we see it happening, and we've seen this happen over many years here in Canada with the blanket acceptance of evolutionary theory that excludes a creator. We see it in the rapid expansion of false religions and cults that deny the deity of Christ Jesus. But we also see within the church as believers compromise what the Bible calls sin. This is the false believers. This was their way of living, which is no different today. Sadly, what the Bible condemns as sin, many believers, many in the church, accept and support today because of false teaching, because of the word of God being taken out, changed. When people refuse to acknowledge the sinfulness, and just here's a little list. When people refuse to acknowledge the sinfulness of abortion or drunkenness or homosexuality or euthanasia, calling evil good and good evil, what are they doing? They're dismissing the authority of God's word. If we go back to the importance of and elevating the authority of God's word in our lives as we look to it to build not just our personal faith, but our family, our church family, what we believe. See, sin is nothing to be encouraged or celebrated, and that's what these false believers were doing, as Jude outlined already in verses 3 all the way to verses 16. This is what they were doing. He tells us also what they're like and what their goal was, again, to drive people away from the authority of God's word. All people, again, we learn in Scripture, in Romans 3:23, all people are sinners, and we will continue to struggle with sin throughout our lives, but the Lord does not want us to actively seek out sin and accept it. No. That only leads to pain and destruction and separation from him. When we sin as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to confess it right away. We are to seek the Lord's forgiveness. Because if you are a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, you have such a passion in your life to live for God that when you sin, you're disgusted by it. And you repent. And you deal with it. And you get right with God. But for these, again, the enemy, the false believers, in this passage, in this letter Jude writes about, that's not who they are. So they're just content to live without God's authority in their lives. And so they do as they please. And we'll learn a little bit more of them in the next verse. In verse 19, what does it say? These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So verse 19 is the last verse in our passage here today. And so perhaps just keep reading it over as we look at it. Because Jude goes on to describe, again, characterize what these false believers are like. Where they stand. What's their life all about? And he reveals to us the spiritual condition of these men. He tells us what? They follow mere natural instincts and do not have the what? Spirit. They do not have the Spirit. And what does this mean? Well, Jude describes them as those who live only by and for what he can get through his physical senses. And these types of people, this is what their thoughts are like. This is how they think. Well, if it feels good, do it. Or how can it be wrong if it feels so right. You understanding that mindset? That's just prevalent in our society. When people are living for themselves, which is always under the power and influence of our enemy, the focus is on me, me, and me. That's it. If it feels good, do it. If it makes me look better at someone else's expense, fine. If I get angry, then it's okay to shout at someone and make them feel horrible as long as it makes me feel better. See where this is going? This is a life living apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from Christ. This is a life that does not please God. It only pleases me and self. And this is where these false believers, this is where they were coming from. These false believers did not have the Holy Spirit living in them, Jude makes very clear. They were pretenders. They were false believers. And so you look at this verse, and I wonder for you, if you're like, well, if they do not have the Holy Spirit, do I? Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you today? You either do or you don't, right? There's no in between. The Holy Spirit, just as you may know or not know, is God. And just as God is the Father, God the Father, and God the Son are also God. We speak of them as the Trinity. And our minds, of course, but dimly grasp, right, these great spiritual facts because we are finite and God is infinite. And it may help to remember that God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have all existed from eternity, and they are in constant relationship. Jesus came into the world as a man to redeem the world which he had created, and after his death on the cross and his resurrection, he ascended, went back to be with God the Father in heaven. Now, when he went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within believers and to work out a worldwide ministry that Jesus started. And the Bible teaches us that at the moment of a person's salvation, the Holy Spirit enters their life to dwell there permanently. Jesus revealed to his disciples the role the Holy Spirit would play in their lives when he said in John 14, verse 17, he lives with you and will be in you. And as the Holy Spirit lives in the believer, he brings about some life-changing results. First of all, the indwelling Holy Spirit comes to a soul dead in sin and creates new life. And this is what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But the indwelling Holy Spirit helps believers understand and apply the scriptures to their daily life. It is his presence in our lives also. Remember what I was talking about sin earlier? It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that causes us to feel guilt and conviction when we sin, when we get away from God's word and live our own lives. But when we come back in repentance, knowing that we had walked away from God, he never stopped pursuing us, but by his power and his presence, we came back because we knew we were in error. We needed to confess and repent of our sin. So the indwelling Holy Spirit does so much. He empowers the yielded believer to live for Christ and to do his will. Aren't you so glad that you have the Holy Spirit in you today? As we sang earlier, and be reassured, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not just part of the Holy Spirit, but as the Bible says, you have the Holy Spirit in his fullness living in you, helping you to be like Christ every day. But Jude made it clear, these false believers and these false teachers did not have the Holy Spirit in them. They were pretenders. They were twisting the word of God. They were trying to get believers to use the grace of God as a license to sin. Listen, only by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit can we live a godly life and walk in the truth daily. So today, I'd encourage you as we consider not just the importance of remembering the importance of God's word, the ministry of the word of God in your life, but also how important it is that we are walking daily in the Holy Spirit. Ask God today to fill you with his, perhaps you did it when we sang. That's why I just love how the songs today that we have sung go so well with the word of God. Perhaps you did. If you haven't, I'd encourage you, do not leave without asking God, fill me up with a fresh outpouring of your spirit today. In doing so, you are confessing your dependence on him. You are asking to be filled with His Spirit so that all that you think and all that you do and all that you say will be an overflow from Him. And then trust Him to work in mighty ways through you. The warning Jude has for us is very clear. We cannot accomplish God's plan our own way, in our own words, and in our own power. It simply won't work. In fact, being adequate in ourselves actually hinders us from doing what the Lord desires and stifles our spiritual growth. Only by His strength and His living word will we be able to walk in His ways. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord in the truth of His word. And as we close, let us take heart. Jude's instruction, again, those two important reminders. Remember God's word and walk in the Spirit daily. Yield control over to Him and let Him live His life through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the ministry of Your word. We thank You for, Lord, how Your word just guides us, gives us the direction that we need in our lives. And God, I just pray that for each one of us here today, if there are things that the Lord is speaking to us to deal with, Lord, I pray that You would grant each one of us the courage and the strength to make things right, to confess our sins, to repent of our sinful ways, to come back to You, Lord. And we thank You so much, God, that You are a God who is faithful and just, who cleanses us from all of our sins when we confess them. We give You praise, Lord, that You are a God of fresh starts and new beginnings. We praise You for this place and for this time of worship that we've had. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.